south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
So, do you need another reason or two or ten to get the hell out of Dodge? I think we're up to reason 3,476, but if you go down to the top 10 or even the top 5, you just got to be thinking about what you're going to do in the coming food shortages, and believe me, they're coming, get out of hand. So if you're going to stay up in the States or Europe or Canada in the first world, wherever, you better have a plan to get through the food crisis. You think it's over? It ain't, and it's not going to be. For now, all we're seeing is sticker shock. You go to the grocery store, things are up 50 to 100%. Sure, it's annoying, it even pisses you off, but most American families and first world families can handle that. Probably less than 5% of American families grow anything in their garden that they can eat. To smoke, maybe, but not eat. Well, maybe. What happens in, let's say, 4, 6, 8 months' time? You go to the supermarket and you find certain shelves that are completely empty. You've got less and less choice. And even if you've got the dough, the variety and selection are just not what they were before. Some people are seeing that already, right now. If you aren't worried, or at least concerned by now, you ought to be. All right, now I'm going to read something that just came out by Michael Schneider concerning the coming global food shortage. He says, we're being warned well ahead of time that it's coming, the food shortage. Even idiot Joe Biden has publicly admitted that the coming food shortages are going to be real. All right, Michael Schneider didn't say idiot. I shoved in the idiot part, and I'm being overly kind. Idiot, that should be Biden's new pronoun. Anyway, it goes on to say, and the head of the UN World Food Program is telling us we could soon see hell on earth because of the lack of food. It'll be severe. We've got food prices escalating like they never have before, dramatically, all over the globe. And food riots have already erupted in certain countries like Sri Lanka and elsewhere. All right, me Johnny here again. By the way, you may have heard Ecuador's having huge problems with street protestations, and commerce and movement have been shut down last month in practically the whole country, with the indigenous population of over 1 million all pissed off about inflation and the high cost of food. They want the government to subsidize everything. Obviously, none of them have ever read an economics book, though they're right to be thoroughly pissed at their government because governments have caused this entire mess. More details on that to come. People in Panama, Argentina, and Colombia are taken to the streets too. Anyway, the article goes on to say, most people in the Western world, like the U.S., are treating the food crisis as if it's no big deal at all. Most seem to assume that our leaders have everything under control and that things will work out just fine somehow. The thing is, it says most Americans are not paying much attention to this rapidly growing crisis at all because they don't think it will really impact them personally. For the vast majority of us, a lack of food is something we've never had to be concerned about before. What we're going to see is a lot more empty shelves and a lot higher food prices. We're already seeing widespread shortages of certain products around the country, and when you go into a grocery store, we're seeing something that never happened before. Big empty spots on the shelves, or stock boys cleverly filling the spots in the front row, to make them appear like they're full. But if you move a few things around, you'll see deeper into the shelves, they're empty. Now, of course, except in the South and Southeast, when a hurricane's coming and people hoard, Americans have never really experienced that kind of thing before. Meanwhile, the ongoing shortage of things like baby formula and tampons just keeps getting worse. Me Johnny here again. How'd that happen? Is it that suddenly there are more babies in the world, with supply just not keeping up with demand? And about that tampon thing, are there suddenly more women in the world, or are they having more? Well, we won't get into that. The present food and supply shortages is just a tiny preview of what's to come. So again, the question is, what's your plan to make it through the worst global food crisis in any of our lifetimes? Just get used to the fact if you hunker down and stay where you are, you won't be just a little irritated. There will be some pain. Which brings us back to having a plan B in Latin America. Just as we discussed on a show about a month ago, as long as you don't locate in a dry, desert-like area, in many cases, all you have to do is drive a stick or a branch into the ground, and in a couple of weeks, it's sprouting. In fact, I know quite a few expats and gringos who've got too much of a good thing. They've got too many vegetables growing in their garden, too many fruit trees, dropping lemons, oranges, mangoes, and avocados in the yard. I see it a lot with gringos and expats. They start a garden or start planting some fruit trees, based on past gardening experience they may have had up in the States or in Canada, where there's a winter deep freeze and one growing season, not three or four, like we have down here in Latin America. So, here in Latin America, when we plan out our garden or lawn, we think, let's not just have one lemon, pear, apple, or avocado tree. We're thinking, man, trees grow so slow, they take years to produce. That's what it's like with trees up in the States, anyway. Chances are, too, after years of waiting, you get a dud or two, or a certain percent of them just won't produce, or some of them die. So, let's double down. Let's have two, three, even four of each. Sounds good in theory, right? The more the merrier. If you've got the land, then it doesn't take that much here, that's for sure. Well, true to form, most of us gringos and expats plant way too much, and we end up throwing away half of it, or more than half of it. You longtime listeners have heard me tell the story about what happened to me in my yard in Guatemala. I had a bunch of fruit trees and banana trees. Two or three of everything, in some cases four. Those trees produced so much that half of it ended up rotting on the ground. Even though I was given 5-gallon buckets of the stuff away, especially lemons, to my cleaning lady and maintenance guy. What a problem to have, huh? Oh, and I haven't even said a word yet about those fantastic, gigantic outdoor food and produce markets. Bottom line, if you live in Latin America, you're never going to run out of food. Unless there's some huge cataclysmic event, like getting hit by a comet. However, if you're picky and you're addicted to imported junk, like a lot of the stuff you see on the shelves at Costco, remember, Costco's and Walmart's are everywhere down here. By the way, the Costco's are called Price Marts. Anyway, if you're addicted to some kind of imported food you can only get at Costco or on Amazon, say some boutique chocolate whose cacao pods are harvested exclusively by Nigerian non-binary lesbian virgins. Well, if that's the only kind of chocolate you eat, when the food crisis really hits, you might be SOL. Same thing goes if you're addicted to certain first world brands coming out of the US too, like, let's say, Famous Amos cookies or Baskin Robbins ice cream. When supply chains break and the food shortages ramp up, that stuff just might disappear from the shelves permanently. But not to worry, you'll certainly have plenty of food choices living in Latin America, where, as you've heard me say before, most all of your basic food items are grown and shipped in locally. Just note that worldwide food shortages are starting already. In fact, I just read this morning, there's a severe worldwide shortage of mustard seeds and chili pepper. Chili pepper? What? I bet that suicide hotline number in Mexico is ringing off the hook. I know, nothing to lose sleep over, but this is just the beginning. Shortages are coming and they will be severe, and it won't be temporary either. Take California, Oregon, and Washington, D.C. Talk about shortages. We're talking brain cells here. Nothing temporary about that. Again, the million-dollar question is, how's your plan be coming? All right, sort of related to that comes a short email from Ryan. He says, hey, Johnny. Got my plan B well underway. I've been to Salvador and Guatemala twice. I'm a techie guy myself from California. And though many of my Silicon Valley and Google buddies won't admit it in public, they'll tell you on the QT that they're very worried about the U.S. They feel U.S. dominance will be short-lived because we've got nothing but a bunch of uneducated, woke nincompoops running things. Even the leaders of most of our high-tech companies are nothing but educated, woke nincompoops. Meanwhile, Ryan says, the Chinese teach their children math, physics, biology, engineering, computer sciences, AI, robotics, etc., etc., and we teach our children gender dysphoria and racial victimization. Who would you put your money on in that race? Anyway, Johnny, not to get too depressing here, how can I be depressed when I'm getting the hell out of Dodge myself? I'm 35 and ready to reinvent my life. So put me down for your next seminar, Johnny. By the way, when and where is it going to be? Signed, Ryan, late of California. Spelled with a K. Well, thanks for that, Ryan. As far as the next seminar goes, Ryan, it'll be in the DR, the Dominican Republic, by popular demand. People say, why don't you change things up a bit? So this time, it's the DR. And contrary to popular belief, it's not tropical island hot all the time. They've got some high-altitude mountainous areas with altiplano weather, too. That means there are some places where there's springtime weather all year round. It's a little known fact they grow a lot of coffee in the DR, and that takes high elevations. Anyway, the DR's got a lot of good things going for it. Man, it's got some beaches, resorts, hangouts, and playgrounds that are out of this world. Plus, remember, it was the very first place Columbus landed. And so they've got a historic district, a UNESCO World Heritage Site that's out of this world. It's like walking back 500 years in time. It's all restored, too, so it's not just a bunch of crumbling ruins. And as for one of the main draws, You wouldn't believe the residency and passport program they got going now. Once you get permanent residency, in 2 years, you can apply for a passport. How do you like that? It's the quickest fast-track passport in all 20 Latin American countries. You heard right. After having residency just 2 years, you can apply for your passport and nationality. Plus, during the seminar, I'll be taking you all to that really fantastic little gem of a stem cell clinic I happen to stumble on. You know, the one I've been talking about and reporting on for the past few months. The one I took my brother to. You know my brother, the stem cell poster child? Yep, we'll take you there to see the inner workings. By the way, my brother just called me 3 days ago. You remember he went to the stem cell clinic for lots of reasons. That's why I call him the stem cell poster child. The main reasons being he was scheduled to get knee and shoulder replacements up in the States. And I thought, wow, I have to convince him to try to get stem cells first. And if that doesn't work, well, he could always get the joint replacements. Remember, he's the guy that couldn't walk 2 blocks without sitting down and taking a rest. And the guy who was addicted to oxycodone. He took it every night for years because his shoulders hurt him so badly he could never get comfortable enough to go to sleep. And now it's been a half year since he's had his stem cells. And the latest news as of 3 days ago, guess what? He dusted off his old bowling bowl and joined a bowling league. Yeah, he hasn't done that in 20 years. Just think how far he's come. Could you ever imagine a guy who's been diagnosed as needing 2 shoulders and a knee replacement joining a bowling league? Anyway, I mentioned I'd be updating you with reports on my brother's progress, or lack of it, with stem cells. Oh, and just so you're not confused, I have another brother, a much younger brother, who had stem cells in November because of his bad heart. I reported on him too, and that he was close to getting on the heart transplant list because of his 31% heart ejection fraction. And now, about 9 months after his stem cell treatments, he's at 51%, in the low normal range, but still normal. And his American cardiologist can't believe it. He's shocked. But where were we? Oh, yeah, talking about the seminar. So, for the upcoming seminar, you will be getting the fire hose treatment in the DR. Now, some people who want to come to the seminar and who have some kind of health problems have been asking me if they could stay on a while and go to the stem cell clinic right after. No problem if that's what you want to do. You just have to add another week or 5 working days right after the seminar. Our seminar logistics coordinator, Rita, will help you arrange that. Just let me know. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. By the way, the seminar sign-up sheet should be ready in a couple of days. Just go to expatplanb.com for all the details. All right, let's talk about Mexico for a second because I get lots of emails from people saying, Johnny, I want to move to Mexico. I've been there a bunch of times. Or maybe one time. They say things like, it's cheap, friendly, easy, and no one bugs you. Plus, you could just pop right over the border and you're there, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the thing. It seems like there's something missing in almost all the cases where people say they want to move to Mexico. Something missing in the basic analysis. That missing thing is they've almost never had significant boots on the ground in other Latin countries.
Except maybe Costa Rica, and that's the Disneyland version of Latin America.
And since most places in Mexico are cheaper than Costa Rica, almost everything's cheaper than Costa Rica, Mexico is an option. Anyway, it's a big mistake to move to Mexico if you've never visited other Latin American countries and get to see what it's like there. Though it is true, having a plan B in Mexico is better than living out the rest of your life in the U.S. or Canada. Which brings us to this email from Jimmy. He says, Johnny, you're right about Mexico. It's getting worse and worse and more dangerous. I used to live in El Paso, Mexico. Didn't even know there was an El Paso, Mexico. Then he says, and now I know why you don't recommend Brazil either. You see, my girlfriend and I wanted to go to a safe place for a vacation on a cruise. So we thought we'd take a cruise that went down the South American coast, hitting a bunch of cities, ending up in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The ship stopped in port for 2 days. In 48 hours, 51 murders had been committed in the city near Copacabana Beach. Probably one of the most famous and talked about beaches in the world. The subject of movies, songs, plays, books. And when we got there and docked, we were told to stay aboard ship. It was just too dangerous for tourists to go ashore. What a letdown. Now, if I would have been alone, a single guy, or with other guys, I would have taken a chance. But with an attractive blonde American girl on my arm? No way. Given that shipboard announcement, she was scared to death anyway. Seems like Chicago's got a sister city in South America called Rio. Funny thing, though, in the English-speaking media world, you never read about that kind of stuff. The crime in Brazil almost makes Mexico seem like Montana or Idaho. Not good news. All right, there's more to Jimmy's email, but I just want to add. A couple of years back, pre-COVID, I took a South American cruise that originated out of Panama City, Panama. We stopped in Caracas, Venezuela. And Jimmy, the same thing happened. The cruise director announced that it was not recommended to go ashore. They told us to stay aboard ship because it was too dangerous to just go out exploring. However, if you paid for a shore excursion with the cruise line, then, being that it was controlled and chaperoned, there was no problem going ashore. Because they had two uniformed armed guards on the bus. That instills confidence, right? Ah, yes, Venezuela and the wonders of socialism. Anyway, then Jimmy goes on to say in his email, for several years, from 2010 to 2015, I lived in Mexico, in El Paso / Juarez. He says, after living there, I thought I knew the place pretty well. So after all the cool stories I told my girlfriend, she wanted to go down and visit. So I brought my Texas-based girlfriend down for a weekend, just a few months ago, and on day one, we got robbed by two guys dressed in police uniforms. Were they really cops? I'll never know. But I haven't been back since, and I don't plan on it. Luckily, we left our passports and most of our money back in the hotel safe. They got our cell phones and a lot of my girlfriend's good bling, though. All right, dipping further into my Mexico email file. I got this one from Charlie Carlos. It says, Johnny, regarding all those good things you hear about Cancun, Playa del Carmen, and Tulum, seems like all the travel blogs and travel YouTubes and agencies are plugging those places like crazy. Well, guess what, Johnny? I had a business in Playa del Carmen for 2 years, a boutique cake, pastry, and catering business. And since the lockdown's been over for a while, I had a chance to restart my business, but I'm not. I haven't made up my mind yet, but I'm either getting out of Mexico completely, moving south of the border, like you recommend, or moving way out in the boonies in Mexico, where I can homestead and get away from the gringos and the crime. He says, Johnny, after living in the so-called Riviera Maya, that's Playa del Carmen, Cancun, Tulum, people who just know it by going there on vacation don't realize that if you take a bit of time to learn about this area of Mexico, you would never want to live there. Maybe travel there, but never want to live there. Why? Because there's not a single gym, bar, taco wagon, or pastry business like mine that's not forced to pay protection. That is, unless you are right on the strip where there's plenty of tourist cops, but the rent is super high there. He says what the visiting tourists don't realize is that the corruption is complete and total, mostly caused by stupid gringo tourists seeking cheap drugs, tequila, hookers, parties, and a good time. And who do you think provides and controls all that? The cartels. Yes, Johnny, the term Riviera Maya is such a wonderful, pleasant-sounding phrase, but it's got a dark underbelly. Soon, and my gringo and expat business friends down here agree, it'll be in the toilet just like Acapulco. Just know that the government and tourist agencies are suppressing all the bad news. So what you do here in the way of bad news is just the tip of the iceberg. By the way, I agree completely with the guy you quoted on one of your previous shows when he said that 80% of the crimes here are not reported. It's a waste of time. The cops aren't in business to solve crimes. They're either doing nothing or shaking down tourists. Even the good cops, and there are a few, if they show up when you report a crime, they'll sympathize with you, but they won't do anything about it either. They just shrug and say, we'll do some checking and get back to you. But they never do. Then he says, I am in kind of a dilemma, though. My family in California are freaking out about what's happening up there with inflation, gas, taxes, insurance, food, power, water, you name it. Their homeowners insurance up 42%, auto insurance up 20%, inflation 9%, probably twice that, really. Gas up 50% or more, power up 6%, water 7%, food 8%, and wages stay the same. If you're an average American, you're not in the middle class, you're in the loser class. So even for all that's bad in Mexico, it is better than California. Though with the crime rate up in all of Mexico, over 800% in the last 3 years, it could still be a good, even great place if you're a single guy. But I wouldn't want to bring a wife or kids down. I'd be too stressed out every time they went out, even as the kids walked out the door to get on a private bus to go to private school. You know, Johnny, after seeing what happened up in the States and Canada with the COVID lockdowns and the truckers and the way woke lefties have taken over, I understand why people want to move to Mexico, but I don't understand why they don't do any research. If they're getting all their information from blogs, YouTubers, and media, or from friends living in gated communities here, that's not what's really happening on the ground. You got to talk to business owners like me, and we're all running scared. People never ask themselves, what's it going to be like in 2 or 5 or 10 years from now? You think it's going to get better? People have their own ideas and they don't want to know the facts. Did you understand when I said that in the last 3 years, Mexico's crime rate across the country has been up 800%? In Mexico, everyone knows, the cartels outgun the police. Meanwhile, up in the States, you've got the police all scared of one 18-year-old with a rifle. All right, then Carlos finishes off with a funny. He talks about mass illegal immigration to the U.S., mostly California.
He says his brother, living in San Francisco, has had it, and he's ready to come on down. He says at the rate the illegals are coming in, Latin America should be completely empty in just a few months, so that's when he's moving down. He signs off, all the best, Johnny, Charlie Carlos. Thanks for that, Charlie Carlos. I just have one comment. I don't care how bad Mexico is. No country deserves to be punished with a mass influx of Californians.
Hey, are you ready for a coincidence? Speaking of El Paso, get this article from the El Paso Times via their Mexico City correspondent. The headline says, Narco Monkey Killed. The story of drug cartel fixations on exotic pets.
Let me just paraphrase this and cut out the boring parts. It says, Mexican narco's fascination with exotic animals was on display last week after a spider monkey dressed up as a drug gang mascot was killed in a shootout. Meanwhile, a 450-pound tiger wandered the streets in the Pacific Coast state of Nayarit. Then there's a story of a man dying after trying to pet a captive tiger in a cartel-dominated area in the western state of Michoacán. Then it says, just like scenes out of a narco television series, exotic animals have been long part of the Mexican criminal underworld. Then there's photos here from this article from the scene of a shootout Tuesday with police where 11 drug gang members were shot and killed. It shows a small monkey dressed in a tiny camouflage jacket and a bulletproof vest sprawled across the body of a dead gunman, his owner. Man, you can't make this stuff up. A pet monkey with a bulletproof vest. And you still think it's a good idea to have a plan B in Mexico? Hey, go for it. Oh, and by the way, on the same day, in Juarez, Mexico, it says that 4 people were gunned down in a shooting inside a Denny's restaurant. Yeah, Denny's. Denny's at Greasy Spoon opened till 2 in the morning, right? Formerly known as Sambo's. I know it well. But back to that dead monkey with the bulletproof vest. The article says authorities in the state of Mexico confirmed the authenticity of the photos and said it was unclear whether the monkey, who was also wearing a diaper. Nice touch. I guess even narcos don't want monkey mierda smeared all over the floors and walls. By the way, I had a friend with a monkey up in the States. They like to play with their poop. I think they know it pisses us off. Anyway, the article goes on to say, true to form, the cartel monkey quickly got his own corrido, which is a traditional Mexican folk ballad composed in the honor of dead drug capos. Some of the words, according to the new musical ballad, are, quote, life is very short, and it wasn't the monkey's turn to die. All this, of course, is posted on narco social media. They've got their own fakebook, Instacrap, Dick Cock, and Twaddle channels with millions of followers. Why not? Anyone could post on those sites. Funny, though, the secaturds of the world will cancel people who talk about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, but they'll let narcos post pictures of themselves and their drugs and their AK-47s and their pet monkeys in bulletproof vests. Sadly, though, the flak jacket did not save the monkey. Anyway, the article goes on to say, Wednesday, the Attorney General for Mexico's Environmental Protection Unit said it had seized a tiger in Tecolula near the border of Sinaloa, which is home to the famous cartel of the same name. It says those reports were based on a video posted on social media earlier this week showing a young woman shrieking as she came across a tiger on the street in an upscale residential neighborhood. Meanwhile, that same Sunday, authorities confirmed a man was seriously wounded by a tiger in Periban, Michoacán, in Mexico's avocado-growing region where gangs have long extorted protection payments from local avocado farmers. In another social media post, another male narco is shrieking in pain, attacked by yet another tiger while he was feeding it, grabbing his arm and refusing to let go, eventually mauling both the man's arms. Michoacán state law enforcement authorities confirmed the man was taken to a hospital where he died a few days later from those injuries. So then, what's this thing about narcos and exotic animals? According to Mexican authorities, traffickers keep exotic animals as a symbol of status and power, imitating the Colombian drug lords of the 80s and 90s. It's the cool thing to do. It says, according to the present code of drug trafficking aristocracy, having a private zoo is a prerequisite for being part of a circle of the top-leveled traffickers and kingpins. Though it says in many cases the animals have a more sinister use. Some drug cartel capos, like the Zeta leader Herbier Langazo, acquires exotic animals to torture and disappear his victims. Several of his enemies have been known to have been devoured by the tigers and crocodiles that the Zetas keep in their pens and cages. Hey, how about it? Let's move to Mexico. Mexico lindo.
All right, before we finish today, I want to mention something about your passwords, since one of my gringo buddies just got hacked. Here's some news that, to be honest with you, really freaked me out a bit. It's a chart put out each year by a computer analyst group called Hive Systems, HiveSystems.com. The title of the chart is The Time It Takes for a Hacker to Brute Force Your Password in 2022. In other words, it's just what it says. It's the time it takes for a hacker to hack your computer password or the password of anything in your handheld device. I'll give you the highlights. Suppose your password is 4 characters long. If it's only numbers, a hacker can crack it instantly, in less than a second. If it's lowercase letters, instantly. Upper and lowercase letters, instantly. If it's numbers, upper and lowercase letters, instantly as well. And if it's numbers, upper and lowercase letters and symbols, no change, instantly. What if your password has got 5 characters? Doesn't matter if it's a mix of numbers, letters, or symbols. A hacker could brute force it instantly. Now, it starts to get a little bit tougher for the hacker if you've got 7 characters in your password. But still, no matter the mix of symbols, letters, and numbers, it can be brute forced hacked within 30 seconds. Now, listen to this. This is very important. If you have 8 characters in your password, if it's a mix of symbols, letters, numbers, upper and lowercase, it takes a brute force hack attack 39 minutes to crack your password. Now, if you have 9 characters in your password and a mix of letters, numbers, and symbols, it will take a hacker 2 days to crack your password. Now, if you have 10 characters in your password and you have a mix of upper, lowercase, symbols, and numbers, it will take 5 months to crack your password. Now, get this. If you have 11 characters in your password and it's a mix of letters, numbers, symbols, etc., it will take 34 years to brute force hack your password. Now, if you have 12 characters in your password and it's a mix of letters, numbers, and symbols, etc., it will take a brute force hacker 3,000 years to crack your password. Man, you've just got to see this chart. It'll scare the hell out of you. Send me an email, theexpertfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send it off to you. The moral of that story, you want to have at least 11 characters in your password, a mix of upper, lowercase, numbers, etc. Why? Because it'll take a hacker 34 years to crack it. However, if you have 11 characters and they're all numbers, they could crack it in 1 second. Sounds absolutely crazy, right? But you got to see this chart. Send me an email, theexpertfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send it up to you.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.